get her going. Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. This is our national hour on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet. Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. All right, busy night in the National Hockey League last night.
Great night.
We had some real signature games, including the Edmonton Oilers and the Winnipeg Jets. Mm-hmm. Where saw a few fisticuffs too.
Yeah. You saw Nurse get into it there.
With Dylan.
So Logan Stanley and Corey Perry have a fight.
Corey Perry's a big guy, in my opinion. And he looked like just a little feller.
Yeah. Logan Stanley, I feel like, needs to, you know, manhandle a guy like that. It didn't necessarily accomplish it.
Corey Perry's still just got that dog. Like, he just wants to fight still. It's like, how, like, aren't you getting up there fighting?
Anyways. Her loves the game.
I know.
That fella.
Can you see it? A match up there? Like, pretty,
conference final right
pretty,
there?
Pretty even teams at the, give the edge to a goaltending situation with Hellebuck.
Yeah.
The defense. The depth defense off of Winnipeg compared to Edmonton, or just run with McDavid and Hyman and Dreisaitl?
You know, I think in the history of the NHL, there is not a lot of stories, not none, but not a lot of stories where the team with the better elite guys doesn't find their way past the good, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes 1-06 or whatever with a team group. But typically, you know, Gretzky and Lemieux and go through the list. Those guys tend to get theirs. Crosby, yep. Ovechkin, they tend to get theirs. I tend to think this Oilers team has that elite factor that's going to make them really hard to beat in a 7-game series.
I think the Golden Knights you could think of as more of a, I think there's more the decor there that would be the calling card, but they're definitely more of like the non-superstar team that
Meanwhile,
got it done.
The Avs, high end.
Yes.
You know, Lightning, high end.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not going to make a lot out of the Montreal Canadian win over Colorado
last night. Would you if it was an Av show?
For 1 hour? Yeah. I could dissect that thing.
Well, they won 9 in a row. They're eventually going to lose.
Yeah.
We have an idea of what teams can bring, but I think last night, with so many games on and marquee teams going at it like Winnipeg and Edmonton, this thing's wide open.
Wide open. The Rangers win.
You do? I do, yeah.
They're the first team to clinch a playoff spot, and there's 5 teams within a point of them.
Last night, as I'm flipping around, I'm going, okay, there's a lot of teams with a lot of strengths, and it comes off the backs of their superstars. I get all of that, but, man, everybody's also got some issues here and there.
Everyone. The top teams in the league, like, there's no 2 teams where you're like, oh my God, like Rangers, 100 points, Dallas, 99, Bruins, 99, Canucks, 98, 97 for Panthers, 97 for Avalanche, 97 for Hurricanes. They're all within 3 points, 7 teams.
But I don't, you know, wide open to me is like, I feel like there's only 4 or 5 teams that can win.
There's 7 teams within a point, and 3 of them you're going to rule out?
Yeah, I think 8.
Can I quickly, I know we have books, but can we quickly go through the top 10 teams? And if I, you want to offend some fan bases here. But the Rangers, they can win the Cup.
Yes.
Vancouver can win the Cup.
Yes.
Dallas can win the Cup.
Yes.
Boston can win the Cup.
Yes.
Florida can definitely win the Cup.
Yes.
Avalanche.
Yes.
Okay, it's wide open.
Carolina.
Yeah. Carolina.
Oilers.
Oilers.
Your Leafs. And the Lightning.
Are you cutting it off at Leafs? You cutting it off at Leafs?
Boys, I'm watching Roman Josi, and I'm like,
oh my God, what a player.
He's unbelievable.
So would you like to talk yourself into the Preds yet?
Give me time.
Okay.
Ask me later in the hour.
All right.
Let's welcome in Jason Buchla, former NHL head scout, writer for Sportsnet.ca, Pro Hockey Group, and one of our favorites. Book, what's going on?
What's up, fellas?
Okay, so I don't know if you heard all our BS in the last 5 minutes here, but how wide open do you think it is once we start in April?
I think it gets less wide open than we believe. It is wide open. I guess it depends how you define it. Like, you call it 16 teams wide open, or like 8 or 10? Because
we're at 8 or 10 right now, which to me is a healthy number. That we're not talking about one or two that have stood out over 82 games to say, oh no, they're the team to beat.
Yeah, I agree with that. It feels like this isn't the year that a 16, like, I don't think there's going to be like a Florida from last year. I know that it's that, you know, win, get in, get a chance type thing, but I just don't feel like that. I'm with you there. Like, I think there's like 8 or 10 teams that, you know, like, Carolina looks so good. Nashville's on this heater that's ridiculous.
Okay, could Nashville, Boog, could Nashville play the part of Florida last year?
I guess I got to talk myself into that, right? Like, of course, because they feel good about themselves at the hardest time of year. They got 10 games left. Let's say they go 5-5. But do they really feel like, oh, we're slumping going into playoffs? We've already proven to ourselves what we can do. You know, we can come from behind. Listen. Can we send a shout out to Andrew Burnett here? Like, how great a job does this guy do as a head coach? Like, when he took over in Florida a couple of years ago under, you know, trying circumstances, he took that team, you know, as far as they could possibly go. An argument could be made that he established sort of the culture, you know, the beginning of what became the Florida Panthers today. And then, of course, New Jersey, I'm sure they wish they could have him back. But what a job he's done in Nashville as well.
And then on the in the Eastern Conference, the Capitals are kind of Nashville in that, like, Spencer Carberry deserves some love for bringing this team from, I think a lot of us had them dead to rights a month ago. And, man, the Caps are getting back into it.
The Caps look like they were skating in mud at the end of October, middle of November. Like, yeah. They just look like a slow team that wasn't really... They were very undefined, let's just say. Like, watching their power play breakout, you know, everybody drops it back to the speed demon off the rush. Like, that just was not part of their equation. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to today, fellas, 36% power play percentage in the last 20 games played for the Washington Capitals. 36% at this time of year. Pretty impressive. Obviously, you know, they're right in the mix there. They could get in. And Spencer Carberry's done a fantastic job. The one thing that I notice about those two guys on the bench, like, for bench bosses in today's day and age, they're not very demonstrative, are they? Like, they're just kind of low-key guys on the bench. They don't say too much to the press. They don't want the attention to be shelved on their shoulders. Both those guys have that in common as well.
We're talking to Jason Bukala, former NHL head scout, now writer with Sportsnet.ca, also with the Pro Hockey Group. So where do you want? You want to keep it in Canada right now? Is there anything in particular with Vancouver or we mentioned Edmonton and Winnipeg here, Toronto? What strikes out for you? I mean, the Leafs, is there a concern in the last 10 games that they can look so good Saturday night against Edmonton and then come back with a stinker against New Jersey?
Over the last 20 games, guys, the Toronto Maple Leafs, I don't know if there's something going on my internet. I hope you still got me. But anyways, the Toronto Maple Leafs over the last 20 games have a 70% penalty kill ratio. I know, Borny, you ran something today, and I'm, you know, I read it, and you know, even on balance, reading it there, you know, you tried to paint some positives and some negatives. I'm going to double down on it. Really concerned, like, at 20 points or at 70% heading towards playoffs, we better see a significant uptick in their penalty kill percentage here down the stretch. And you know, I've broken down a bunch of numbers and I'm starting to simulate, you know, potential matchups and things. And, you know, even at 23.3% over the last 20 games on the power play, we're talking about middle of the pack there as well. So some things got to give with Toronto. We need to hopefully get Edmondson back healthy, and we need the buy-in to be better defensively as a group, you know, in their entirety. And I got to get this off my chest, though. Like, guys, I watched you guys on Sunday night at the Carolina game, like the broadcast you were doing. I was so tempted to start blowing up your cell phones because the egregious turnovers. I don't care how much possession we have and offensive time in the offensive zone and how we buzz around the perimeter and look good and even outchance our opponents like they did last night against New Jersey for the most part. It's the turnovers under duress or the most untimely turnovers in the most important parts of the game or most important sequences, last minute periods, beginning of periods, stuff like that. We really got to clean this stuff up. I was really happy to hear Sheldon call some guys out last night. And there's got to be a much more of a buy-in there because it's going to be a quick, 10 days against teams like Tampa Bay. You know, they're sneaking up on them. Guess what? The Tampa Bay Lightning, they've got that culture in the room. 84.3 on the PK, 28 points on the power play down the stretch here. These things become important in the next couple weeks.
Books, do you think that NHL teams play differently on offense? Like, you're talking about the Leafs and throwing pucks away. I know that, like, in the analytics era here in the past 5-10 years, way more shots come from the slot directly in front of the net than they used to, right? You used to fire, shoot from everywhere was like a mantra once upon a time. You know, that to me bleeds into the Leafs game where it's like throwing hope plays into the middle because that's where you want to get shots from and there's not always something there. There used to be more emphasis on ragging the puck and cycling and those things, which I'm not saying that's better, but it does seem to be how teams play now. Is that not fair?
I think it's really fair. And you know what? I actually think that there should be more room. Like that, the fancy thing that we all talk about now, guys, is like the low to high cycle, you know, working off the wall, coming up top. And I think a lot of that is predicated too on how defensive zone coverages have changed over the years. Like when you're a man on man, if you could bring your check up top, work a switch, it might open up some space coming off the half wall. So I'd like to see more grind, you know, more pure cycle, like a circle cycle, if you will, you know, like when you work that, you work the corner and you work somebody until they can't do it anymore. I'd like to see a little bit more of that. And I think that there's some teams that do it still proficiently. Like I still think that Florida can play that way. I think the Boston Bruins can play that way. And then they're going to slide something back door on you. Like after they wear you out on one side of the ice, the Toronto Maple Leafs, they've got some try to get the puck to the middle, but I think you're bang on with the adjective hope. It's more hope sometimes, and sometimes those hope plays turn into 50-50s that more often than not in key situations of the game, it goes north against them, and it turns into high danger scoring chances against.
Books, we saw two guys join the 50-goal club this week in Sam Reinhart and Zach Hyman. When we talk about Austin Matthews, legit 50-goal scorer, is this a one-off for those two guys? Are they now going to be looked upon as these pure goal scorers, or is this a career year for them? Like, what are your thoughts on these two guys moving forward to have that type of pressure to put the puck in the net?
Yeah, I think the league on balance is going to start to introduce more of these types of players. It kind of feels like we're in between right now, like the track meet style and certain players go off every year. As long as Hyman continues to play alongside number 97 and go to the areas of the ice that Borney was just talking about, he's going to find a lot of garbage at his feet, and he's willing to do that, and compete for pucks and compete for space. So that's a great story. Obviously, he was a draft pick of ours in Florida. I'm not going to sit here and talk about the tampering that may or may not ever go on the NHL. But anyways, Kyle Dubas was his agent at that time. He ended up coming to Toronto. I got to know Zach personally over my time. This is just a great human being. So this is a nice story. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the result. Now, here's the Reinhart one. Let's get to it. There's this guy by the name of Jonathan Huberdeau that plays in Calgary who was a pretty productive player, I would say even a star player, when he was playing in Florida alongside a guy named Alexander Barkov. Reinhart's playing alongside Barkey for the most part now. I think Reinhart is similar to what Hyman's going to get in Edmonton. I think that if he decides to stay in Florida, he's going to recognize that, or he's going to realize this type of potential going forward. But, I just want to take the opportunity to speak to certain players that make people better around them. And Alexander Barkov has done that for Sam Reinhart as well.
That's great. That's really interesting stuff. I agree. The Barkov connection is a good one. You would know a lot about, well, a number of things that we don't know about here. So I'll check one off the list and get your thoughts on, like, top college free agents. We're kind of getting to that time of year. Do you expect any sort of movement from anyone from college into the NHL?
Yeah, I think that some guys are going to get a game and burn a year here, depending on what happens in the next couple of days. Colin Graf at Quinnipiac is a hot commodity. I believe that even the Toronto Maple Leafs, New York Rangers, Florida Panthers, he attended Florida Panther development camp a couple of years ago. I think there's going to be a lot of people swimming in those waters there. Some names to keep an eye on, though, that could come out of school, guys that are already drafted. And I'm keeping a close eye on this, and I'll tell you why. Like Lane Hutson at BU, the defenseman, who's a Montreal Canadian draft pick, 64th overall or something a couple of years ago. Love this kid. I mean, he's a power play quarterback, undersized, but he's a bulldog. Really, really good player. The Montreal Canadiens have an embarrassment of riches coming through their system on the back end right now. Something to keep an eye on because there's only room for so many of them. And I'm curious to see come towards the draft, for example, if some teams start to reach out to the Habs for to potentially add a player on the back end out of their depth pool there to sacrifice even what appears on the surface to be a relatively high draft pick in this draft cycle.
Books, just to pick up on that, what are your thoughts about these kids coming out of college, playing a few games, and then jumping into the fire of a Stanley Cup playoffs? We saw that with Matthew Nyes with the Toronto Maple Leafs last year and the hype that was around it to get him out of college and in a Leaf uniform. And he ended up getting hurt, unfortunately. But is this the best for them to take him from that environment to the pros and put them in situations where at times I'm sure it might feel a little overwhelming? You like it?
I think it's situational, Kipper, to be honest with you. I mean, in Montreal, like, you're not a playoff team, so I see why you burn a year on Lane Hudson's contract. In the case of Nyes, I felt like he filled a need on the NHL roster. And that kind of speaks to the makeup of the organization at the time more than it speaks to what's maybe best for the player. So it's like, we have a need. This is the National Hockey League. This is our best option. And we got to plug him in there. I was sharing some literature back and forth with somebody last night that they're a little bit down on Nyes. And my return to on that is that, you know, we forget, and I think we do forget when these guys come up and they go into playoffs, that's a heavy lift. Last year, he's super energized coming off of losing a national championship in Minnesota. And, you know, he does as well as he can do last year. But this is his first real tour in the league this year, you know, all the ranks, all the travel, all the everything. And I'd like his offensive numbers to be better. But then let's look at the body of work. Like, you know, 154 hits leads the Leafs forward group. You know, and he's 21 years old. He's a rookie. And he's playing, you know, up and down the lineup. And, you know, I'd like to see 10 more points on the ledger. But he's also filling a need for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So my long answer here is that it's not the best scenario. It's not ideal. And it's not ideal, but it's situational. And it's even situational in Toronto. Ideally, Nyes would have had a year in the American League, and he wouldn't have had to go through all this. But we aren't afforded that luxury because we don't have the depth and we don't have the money to spend it otherwise to fill these types of slots.
So, Books, we're talking about NCAA guys there. There sounds like there's the potential for some movement in how players are eligible for the NCAA, could conceivably still play in the OHL and then go play NCAA hockey. What can you tell us what you know there or your feelings about what could unfold if things change?
I know it's going to be an absolute mess.
Yeah.
It's going to be convoluted as all can be. The timing is going to be really important here. Like, if you put your, you know, as you know, Borny, like, the recruiting for next year at the college level outside of the portal right now, the transfer portal, it's done, right? You know, mm-hmm. Like you're all set for next year. So you've already slotted X number of dollars. Now, if they were to vote before June of this year, And this becomes a strategy in the U.S. It's going to happen because they introduced nil in the U.S., as everybody knows. So, I mean, that eliminates a CHL player from being pro. They didn't let them go south because they were the per diem they were making. Technically, they thought that was like a pro athlete, which is ridiculous. But anyways, now they're going to have these kids potentially come south. I mean, think about this. What kind of effect is it going to have on the timeline for just the draft? So if we're drafting a player right now and he's a major junior player and he's on the clock for 2 years, and does that mean that I've got to sign him? But if he decides to go to college, does he go to my defected list? Mm-hmm. Do I get an extra 2 years on him for development? Like, that's just one example of how, from a pro perspective, it can hurt us. From an amateur perspective, you know, there are some kids that just, they need extra time to develop. And so you're going to see these third line players potentially from the CHL go south of the border, earn some extra looks, maybe take a little bit of extra time to earn a pro deal. But here's the real big problem. Tier two hockey in Canada, in my estimation, as a feeder system to the NCAA, is going to get knocked right on its rear end. Like, it's going to be a feeder system for more like Division III hockey.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see what the effect on the USHL has as well. So it's not an easy answer. It's a tough question for me to just kind of put in like a 30-second thing for you guys here. A lot of moving parts.
But it affects everybody in this feeding system towards professional hockey or college. So what happens now? Does the NHL get involved with the CHL and the NCAA? Do you get everybody in one room to say, how does this affect everybody? And let's find common ground here.
Yeah, the first question would be, Kipper, the clock, right? That's what it's going to be. So right now we have three clocks in order. So we have the NCAA route. So imagine a kid in the USHL gets drafted this year in this cycle, but he's going to Minnesota next year. He's on the clock for 4 years, okay, just because of the way he's planning out with his strategy as an athlete. It's the same in Europe. And that's another thing I want to introduce to this. So, you know, Tom Willander, for example, in Vancouver, the draft last year out of Sweden, he's playing at BU this year. He played at the J20 level in Sweden last year, not the pro level. And the reason for that is the NCAA doesn't let those guys play pro hockey in Europe and come over here because they're calling them pros, which they obviously are. Does that now mean that these kids can play in the SHL when we go over there and scout them? And will they be on the clock for 4 years and come over here to the NCAA? So I think the clock is going to be the biggest question, because if I draft a kid from the London Knights this year, let's say Easton Cowan last year, okay, the Toronto Maple Leafs draft him. He's on the clock for 2 years to get signed. If he's not signed, he's got a third year to prove himself, re-enter the draft, or he'll become a free agent at the major junior level. Holy jumping. Like, if they're not all on the same clock, how's it going to work?
Boy, that's complicated.
I don't even know if they've...
Oh, it's going to be a nightmare. Yeah. Trust me, it's going to be a nightmare. And we're not even talking cross-border insurance. And we're not even talking about a CHL kid who had a school package. Hey, guess what, Mark Hunter? I'm going to go to Michigan now. Can I please have that school package for when I decide to go to university?
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot going on there.
Books, great stuff, man. As always, when you come on our show, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Books.
Anytime, fellas. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I'm in town tomorrow. I'll see you over there.
All right, beautiful. Love it. Sam's all like, we should have had him in studio.
No,
tomorrow.
No, no. We're not here tomorrow.
We're not here. Oh, yeah. Oh, whoops, my bad. Sorry, Books.
What kind of producer are you? He's going to come over and look for us, and we're going to be home eating chips on the couch watching the Jays.
I'm actually playing golf tomorrow.
Oh, are you?
That's insanity.
Take
they were
snowing
on the
you.
Ground yesterday.
No.
I was just wanted to pick up on, it's a massive undertaking to try to change all of this. And I talked to a couple of junior A teams and they're like, it's going to take a while here. Nothing's going to happen anytime soon is their sense. Yeah. Unless something's going on behind the scenes with some powerful people that are making decisions for a lot of people that don't know about it.
It's crazy. Like myself having had to make a choice, you know, do I want to play WHL games in this exhibition season, but that'll kill my eligibility. So I'm going to choose junior A so I can go to college. I think it was a huge decision at 17 years old would have been nice to know I could have carried on even if I had played in the dub at the time.
They wanted you to play in?
What's that?
Was there teams that wanted you to play in the dub?
Yeah, well, my hometown team, the Kelowna Rockets, it was a matter of should I play exhibition games for them or should I, you know, risk losing eligibility? It was a big decision. Would I have made the team? I don't know.
Probably. You're good.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean.
Can I pick up a little bit of the conversation we had with Books on Sam Reinhardt and Zach Hyman?
And I thought you were going to say Barkov.
No.
I thought you'd be like, he's so underrated.
He's so good.
He's so underrated.
Yeah, I love him.
I love him, too. He's excellent.
You see them ever having another 50-goal season in their careers?
Hyman or Reinhardt?
Yeah.
Boy, Zach Hyman does one thing like no one else, and that's get to the paint, baby.
Yes.
A.J. McLean called him Shaq Hyman, you know, because he gets to the
paint. Shaq Hyman?
Yeah.
That is awesome. I've never heard that.
And, you know, I think he scored 44 of his goals from within an arm's length of the net. If he's still with McDavid and he's still in those parts of the rink, I can see it again.
That's the key, and no different with Barkov, with Sam Reinhardt, is that it's one thing to go to the net, and it's another thing to expect the puck to be there when you're there.
To trust.
And those guys get the puck to the net.
They get there, and Barkov can get it there like McDavid can get it there. So I'm not ruling it out.
Would Zach Hyman be a 40 or 50 goal scorer if he stayed with the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Probably not.
I mean, I don't think 40 is out of the question. I mean,
no, you'd never get 40 with Austin Matthews shooting the puck.
What did he score here?
Like 20 something, I think.
21's is high
here? Yes.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe that.
Right? You're not scoring 50 if you've got a 60 goal scorer as a centerman.
21 in 51 games. So that's a 30 goal pace. So, yeah, 40's a lot.
I absolutely, like, depends on if Reinhardt re-signs there. But to me, if he re-signs there, and, like, Books laid out beautifully, that you probably should.
Yeah.
You know, like, you should take a little less and play there.
I think that's going to happen.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
People are talking about, I was listening to a radio show today, they're saying, like, he's $10 million. I'm like, I don't...
10?
Sam Reinhardt, love him. He could score 55, 60 if he gets hot here. Mm. He does not want to be a $10 million player.
No, you're in big trouble when you're not scoring like that.
If he comes back to earth a little bit, you don't want to be that guy that it's a unmovable, turn his conversation into an unmovable contract, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So I think if he fits into 8-2, 8-5, which... in many ways, like Stamkos, is the equivalent to 11 in Canada.
Mm.
You're gold.
Yeah. Gold.
Stay.
Yeah.
Playing with Barkov, like, why wouldn't you? It'd be awesome.
UFA and sign Columbus and everyone's mad at you.
Go to the rink in your flip-flops, go play golf. Like, I saw a video of those guys all show up to the rink in golf carts. I'm like, what a life. Like, they're all driving. Yeah. Like,
one reporter.
I know. They got to go talk to George Richards every night.
Why does Tarasenko and Giroux say it's the only place they'll go?
Yeah.
Fill me in.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Seems pretty good, but to answer your question, Kevin, I think they both could score 50 goals again.
Yeah.
Like,
so with Connor,
for
Zach.
Sure. Yeah, like,
why wouldn't you?
And God, I'd love
but
to.
But he won't if Connor decides to shoot the puck and put 60 back in.
Sure, it depends what Connor wants to do.
But yeah. Boy, his goal in the overtime last night was not a product of Connor. That was a gorgeous goal.
Yeah.
Hard work, gets it to the net, catches it on the forehand, puts it in. It was nice.
I know I used to say this all the time, but, you know, having been the video coach with Hyman there, I've seen him at 1 a.m. on a bus between Utica and Syracuse watching his shifts in a game we lost, trying to figure out how to get better.
Wow.
This guy has committed himself to being the player he is now.
So. Love it. You guys want to do a game? We'll do a game time after the break.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. Pay some bills.
Yes, sir.
And when we return, our boy Sammy with Game Time.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Tammy. Quiet night after last night.
Yeah. Tuesday's busy. Wednesday's quiet for the more national games. Thursday's busy. Friday quiet. Saturday busy. Sunday. What? Your mic.
The night before, you did really well. You hit a couple good games.
I can't remember.
You called underdogs and hit both.
I don't remember what I did last night. What did I say last night?
I don't know.
I got a tweet from somebody that's like, buddy, if I was fading your picks, I'd be a millionaire. I was like, thanks, pal.
I love that. That's so true. If you did the opposite of Sam all year, you'd be doing all right.
I liked it immediately. It's like, great tweet, buddy. Got me between the eyes. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play the odds, to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So like you said, light night on the ice tonight. But I was looking at the... to make the playoff odds, mm-hmm. and they are obviously getting a little bit thinner here. But the Detroit Red Wings now, after their loss, have gone from a +650 a +260 underdog to make the playoffs, and a -350 to miss the playoffs.
Hmm.
So, and the Washington Capitals, with their win last night, have gone from they're a -250 to make it, +200 to miss. So. It's crazy that they're that big a favorite to make the playoffs after what they look like for most of the season. And even what they look like in the last time the Leafs played them. And Wilson gets suspended and we're all like, they're done.
Stathlete says the Capitals are the 65% chance to make the playoffs.
Detroit needed a regulation win bad.
Detroit's down to 25% chance of making playoffs.
And Patty Kane ties it late. You know, you think they're going to get some
rocket too, eh? Yeah. Like typical.
He's a point per game.
Yeah. Pat Kane.
He is a point per game on a pretty middling team without a lot to work with.
Turns out he's Patty Kane still.
Well, what's that worth in the summer?
Great question.
I don't know.
This guy, every guy who's not on the Leafs is about to take a big discount. is he really worth much? I don't know.
He's going to sign Tampa 8 years, $750K per.
He doesn't strike me as a guy that's just going to hold the Red Wings hostage on a contract.
His last one, he made $10.5 per for 8 years, right? He's probably doing okay.
He's north of $100 million. I don't think he picked Detroit to think that he's going to go play on two different teams in 2 years after spending the whole career in Chicago.
Well,
he strikes me as a guy that I picked it, I liked it, I want to stay there.
And it's also like you could reach one hand and touch Buffalo, reach the other and touch Chicago. You know, like he's kind of in the middle of his homes there.
Anyways, I think he looks really good. And it's weird because he's a guy that wore a jersey his whole career. And then he went to the Rangers, and I never thought he looked right in that jersey.
That's because he stopped wearing red, and he's back in red.
And now he's wearing red? Yeah, that's... Wow. Big brain on you, right? You figured it out.
He wasn't healthy.
The old gerbil upstairs couldn't get it going for me.
He wasn't healthy. He knew he needed surgery. I wish he didn't go to New York.
Yeah?
Last year. And I said it.
Yeah,
I said he should shut it down.
Yeah.
He's got his cups. Don't chase. It's a hope pass.
And it was weird to go
to the New York Rangers.
It was weird. Remember all the stuff they had to do to fit him in?
Well, and also their power play didn't have room for him. There was no...
They had Panarin and
all these dishers.
Did they trade for Tarasenko at the deadline last year, too?
Yes.
I can't remember. Anyways, so two games on the ice, like I mentioned. Just an absolute barn burner in Buffalo tonight. The Sabres are taking on the Ottawa Senators.
Hey. That's his game.
I'm working.
Pump it up.
Oh, it's a great game between two excellent teams.
Pump it up. It's our national game tonight.
Ottawa Senators. What's left? Can they
fight?
Come on with a plot.
Fight.
No, they are fighting for a lot internally. There's no doubt about that. Definitely. To figure out who we keeping, who's staying, who's going, what are we, what's our identity. Who's a part
enjoy
of the solution? Who's a part of the problem?
Enjoy it.
I need to do well externally because internally it's going to be harder.
The Boston Bruins and Tampa Bay Lightning do play it tonight, though. So that's a great game.
Yep.
Boston, obviously, in the second half of back-to-back. The Tampa Bay Lightning are -115 on home ice. Bruins are -105 on the road. Give me the Tampa Bay Lightning in that one. They've been hot. Bruins, the big emotional comeback last night. Maybe a bit of a letdown spot tonight. And I think Tampa Bay is going to get them and get the 2 points, and we'll come in here and, well, we won't be on tomorrow, but we'll come in here on Friday and talk about how the Tampa's 2 points behind the Leafs.
Here come the Lightning. Make no bones about it. They have slowly creeped along my little sport logic chart to the good team part.
And Books just sent a chill down my spine talking about how he's like, oh, their special teams rounded into shape at playoff time and their
just
playoff guys.
Just need Vassie to play well, and they're as good as anyone.
God. Is it?
I thought we were done with them.
I know. I thought we killed them.
Toss up right now for MVP for you?
Yeah, you love Cooch.
I do like him, but
let me see if the
just watching Nate McKinnon. I think somehow, some way, Tampa wouldn't hurt as bad if they lost Cooch than Colorado if they lost Nate.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I mean,
for sure. He's essential. I am a voter, and I have twice voted for McKinnon in years he should win the Hart Trophy, and he didn't. 1 year, Taylor Hall won it because he had a good last couple weeks in New Jersey, and Wyshynski wrote an article that, like, the day everyone voted, and he won by, like, 9 votes. Terrible. Yeah, because McKinnon's year.
Because of the article?
I just know a lot of voters made a decision on the day this came out that I didn't agree with.
New voters.
I know. Well, and then I voted for him another time when he didn't win. Anyway,
vote for him again.
He's my guy.
Yeah.
So, not like this isn't a lifetime achievement award. I think he's been the best player in the league, most important to his team, but... He's to lose now.
Our beloved Bet365 agrees with you. He's a minus 350 favorite still. If you like Nikita Kucherov, he's plus 500. Connor McDavid has creeped up there to plus 550. Auston Matthews has fallen off the cliff down to plus 1,800, 18 to 1. So
don't bet on that.
Do not bet on that. No. Unless he scores, I guess, 10 in his next 10, 70s, and we can talk. 10 but
in his
I
next
don't think
game,
that's
maybe.
Yeah. That was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play it responsibly.
Speaking of fisticuffs from Winnipeg and Edmonton, Bruins and Panthers last night, you know it was a good game when you don't see the go-ahead goal till about 2 minutes left in the hockey game.
And Lindholm kind of, sort of fought.
Yeah, Bennett.
Bennett, not really, but kind of. He had a glove on because he couldn't get it off. But also Marchand fought Mikkola, and Mikkola's a monster.
Did he need a stepladder?
Yeah, it was one of those fights.
We saw an eclipse last night. Marchand actually dropped the gloves. Very rare.
This guy over here.
He wouldn't fight Domi, but he'll fight Mikkola?
He also didn't really fight Mikkola. But yes, he...
Bennett put... Lindholm and the locker are pretty good.
That happened.
It was not a great showing for him, but great game. Those two teams clearly quite good.
Sure wish they could play in the first round.
Yeah, that would be really. Can we figure out a way to do that? Yeah. So, did you want to do that Guentzel clip?
Yeah, I think so. So, Jake Guentzel returns to Pittsburgh last night, gets a nice video, his wife's in the crowd holding their kid, having a tear. It was really nice. But when he left, it was all, I guess no one was really sure what was going to happen, but here's what Jake Guentzel had to say about leaving Pittsburgh.
Jake, how awkward were the last few weeks here when you're hurt, you can't play, you know, your name's out there. Was that a tough time in your life just kind of dealing with
it? Yeah, it's, you know, you're not really sure what's going to happen, so you're kind of sitting there just watching. I mean, not being able to help is kind of tough. But I got a little bit of heads up that this probably something was going to happen, and... I just soaked in those last couple of days.
Was part of that tough aspect of it, like maybe you have wanting to stay here if you could have gotten a deal done?
Well, yeah, I mean, my intention was to stay, but they just thought there was a better direction to go a different way, and it's out of my hands, so it's not my choice.
My intention was to stay. It's out of my hands, not my choice. That's a big finger. He did it to Dubas. Is it not?
He wouldn't pay me $9 million for 8 years, so... I couldn't stay.
You think that's what it
is? I mean, we love to, I mean, we're in the news and notes portion of the show where we crap on Dubas, but like, he wanted all the money in the world and we're going to give it to him for a rebuilding team. I'm not going to really blame Dubas a ton.
Everything's great.
Fair enough, yeah. Kippy? I mean, I guess it depends what the ask is.
Chief Dubas blamer, Kippy?
No. I'm going to see if we can dig Dubas out of a hole a little bit here.
Mm.
He would be eligible to sign in the summer with Pittsburgh.
He would. And one of the last feelings weren't hurt, which they sounded a little bit hurt to me.
And the last question in this scrum was, would you resign in Pittsburgh?
And
he's like, I play for Carolina.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
Yeah,
you can't say yes, but I look forward to doing it.
Yeah, can't wait to get out of here.
But could Kyle not look a lot better to his fan base?
That would be unbelievable.
If he got assets for Guentzel at the trade deadline, and signed him.
That would be summer. Unbelievable, truly. I would love a photo of the three prospects they traded for with Gensel on their shoulders after he signed.
Kyle Dubas can go out in public again in Pittsburgh if he does that.
Yeah, but that never happens.
I know, but that's...
When's the last time that happened? It was Aroldis Chapman did it with the Yankees when he got traded from the Yankees. Like, it doesn't happen.
I don't disagree that it doesn't happen, but if Sid got involved... And Sid wanted him back. You need something so Sid can look forward to being a Pittsburgh Penguin. Mm-hmm. Gensel would do it with a signing. Now, I don't know what that means. Like, who blows up? How do you do it?
It is crazy it doesn't happen,
but
though.
That's Kyle's to figure out.
You know, like John Tavares on Long Island, if he says, all right, trade me and then I'm going to re-sign, you know, how different is that legacy if he's on Long Island and they got to trade him for assets? You know, it is a fascinating thing that we just don't see a lot of, but you're right.
Like literally never.
Please tell me that if there was ever a thought about it, Kyle would have had that conversation with Gensel and his agent. Listen, I got to move you. If Gensel's saying, I had no choice, or that's just, it was, I got to move you for assets. If I can get a crack at signing you again in the summer, I would.
What if it's like, this?
Could you not have given him a heads up that there is a possibility if I can create the room on the cap?
It's, we'll give you 5x5 right now, but if you let us trade you and then resign with us, we'll give you 8x8. Come on back. You know, it's the promise to come back for more. Those are terrible examples of dollars, but you get the point.
You have to
hell of an agent.
You got to have a conversation with Sid, and it doesn't sound like there's been much conversations on the future of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and that's what Kyle's going to have to do the moment this season's over. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I don't want to see Sid Crosby at the World Championships.
What?
Please.
Oh, my
Who's
God.
Who's talking about Sid at the World? Oh, there's some
that?
Rumblings.
Oh, is it McKee?
Oh, listen, they're missing the playoffs now, and everybody's starting to talk about Sid playing at the World Championships. I can't think of anything like, a championship. What do they even call it, a World Championship? All the best players are still playing.
Hold on. Are you doing this to piss me off? Is this like a targeted... attack?
It sucks. The World Championship sucks.
Who watches
sucks.
That?
I watch...
Send always Canada, like, Team F.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but we haven't had many chances to watch anyone play for Canada.
Hey.
You don't care.
Hey. Get a DVD. Get a DVD of any Team Canada in the last 40 years and sit and have a box of popcorn.
Are you going to claim you watch or you follow what's going on in the world?
The World Championship? I watch every game.
What are you talking about? No, you don't.
I watch every single game. I do. I love Team Canada hockey. It matters to me a lot. I watch the World Juniors. I watch World Championship. I even sprinkle on the Spangler Cup sometimes. Like, I love Canada because we don't get it. So we have to take all the opportunities to get it that we do. And you're telling me right now, if Bedard and Sid are playing on the same line for Team Canada at the World Championship, you're not going to care? Because that's offensive to me.
Yeah. Listen, I'm fully
I'm watching World Championships.
I'll watch it.
Of course you will.
Sure.
Who wouldn't? You'd have to be a
I'll wait
dumbo.
For the highlights.
Oh, my God, Kiffer. You're the worst.
I really want to go hard on this, but, like, I get it. It's cool.
It's a collection of losers during the regular season. During the regular season.
I actually used to call it the Danny Heath Memorial Tournament.
If you're not in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you'll have had a losing season.
You know who used to...
I see. First? I see.
You're last.
You know who Spezza used to crush that tournament after the Leafs put him out in the first round or he was out. Heatley.
At the end of the day, the guys, if you're going, you're going to have a good time. You're going to, you know.
Don't guys go to juice their resumes so they can get picked for the Olympics?
Did you hear Billy Guerin? He was kind of leaning on a lot of the U.S. guys. Hey, you want to be in the Olympics? You better show up for this thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. That's good management. You want me to help our team win? Let me lean on the boys.
Who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? Like, Pat Kane's in Detroit if we miss the playoffs, I won't play in the Olympics because Bill Guerin told me to show up.
They're picking him regardless.
They bet.
Right.
No, you know what? Sid's eligibility for the Four Nations face-off hinges on him.
It might for the Olympics, though, pal.
No way. He's
two seasons from
I'll
now?
I'll tell you right now, captain.
Two seasons from now, right? Yep. Is it? I'm asking legitimately.
Yeah, 2026.
So next year's,
I can't see him captain. Falling off to the point where I don't want him on the Olympic team.
Doesn't matter if he falls off.
Either.
He's the captain.
He's going to be a point per game guy this year. If he's a 58 point guy, he's still.
If they miss the playoffs next year, he could retire.
Wow. Dark.
No, he's not going to retire before 2026. He wants to play on that Canada team with McKinnon. Yeah.
Have you watched his body language lately?
He's not going to retire before he has a chance to play with McDavid on the Canada team. Come on,
he
boys.
He just texted Kip and said he would.
Come on. Josh Doan.
Josh Doan, what a moment. In Mullet Arena, scored a...
Okay, we're trying to make this a good story, so keep the Mullet Arena out of it.
Okay, in an arena, there was a shot, and he batted it out of the air, backhanded into the net. They cut up to Shane Doan, who was just like, dad moment, he's beside himself, he's
really
hugging
fun.
People, a couple of tears. It was awesome.
No, he didn't take his shirt off, did he?
Well, what? Who... So he scores a second goal in his first game, which, by the way, Doan also scored the first goal at Mullet Arena for Arizona State University. But anyway, scores two last night. And then Doan is there beside a guy who's tarp off, and he's built like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, who was that guy?
I don't know.
He must be the strength and conditioning coach for the...
WWE?
The ASU or whatever. I don't know. But he was jacked.
That was a lot of dude.
Bit of a barrel chest.
Yeah, jeez. That's a lot of chicken breast to get built like that. That's all I got to say.
My salad,
God asked the question one man once said.
A great moment.
Love it.
Yes, amen. Yes, great moment.
For a great franchise that will be there forever.
All right, and some news that the Washington Capitals aren't going to Virginia because they cut a deal with D.C.,
Yeah, but how is this even a conversation? It sounds like the lease that Leonsis had was till like 2047.
Yeah, no. They got something new, and they're going to get upgrades on the arena.
Oh, DC made some concessions.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's what you call
leverage, huh?
Negotiations.
Teddy's been through it a couple times.
You gotta watch my episode of Our List I did like 30 years ago. I was the whole episode's about the threat of a hockey team leaving town and
using
leverage.
If there's a place
leverage.
I can watch this, I will. Do you do words?
What is this?
An old soap he's in.
No, not an old soap.
What the hell is Artless?
Artless is a show in the late 90s on
Our
HBO.
Our guys at the Legion right now are like, yeah,
Artless! The Legion boys are lighting up.
It's on Crave. Oh, you can find it on Crave.
Is your episode on Crave?
Yes.
Do you words?
Buddy, they were so impressed with my first take. They invited me to stay the next day.
Is that right?
No.
I was in with Stella Stevens, which is like a 1960s actress.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Kobe Bryant was
really?
My episode.
What?
Yes.
As a baby?
Kobe was just out of, I think he was with the Lakers by then. And just out of Italy playing professional basketball.
Were you hanging out with Kobe, or is this
I
part of the
not,
episode?
No.
Oh, okay.
Kobe was a separate episode.
Oh, okay.
I know. While we're doing athletes in shows, my wife and I were watching Oppenheimer this weekend, and is Sean Avery?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, and he's also
in Oppenheimer.
He's also in the other one that guy did. The other weird one where everyone's like running backwards.
Oh.
Tenet? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
It's a thing, but
he's also in that one.
Can we get back on me?
Oh. Yes. Is there more? But Sean Avery being an Oppenheimer fully took me out of the movie at a pivotal time in the movie.
I'm going to give you guys like a week to hunt down my episode on Our List. It's called What About the Fans? And you got to watch it. And then I want a report. All right?
Are we going to watch Our List, Sam?
Sure. I am Googling this.
All right.
We're not on tomorrow. Blue Jays, 4:10 first pitch.
Sammy,
the season starts.
Are we any
Blue
good
Jays.
Or do we suck? Give me a rundown of the season.
Okay, we don't have much time. Pitching's a little banged up heading into the season. The front office is betting on some positive regression from some of the hitters. Like the top four, worried about the bottom half. Need Varsho to be better. Need Justin Turner to be really right. good.
Rogers Center looks great.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. We're off tomorrow and back Friday. Real Kipper and Bourne. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.